Welcome to Dragon Football Weekly. Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker in studio this week here in Jasper on Tri-State Communications Sports Network. Looking back at last Friday, the Dragons coming off of a tough loss to the North Murray Mountaineers to go 1-1 thus far on the regular season. It was a game that did not lack any action. It was pretty eventful throughout, very good competitive game like we expected. Very similar to what we saw in the 2022 season when we went up to North Murray. This game, of course, also getting a little out of our grasp and just can't seem to get a win against those North Murray Mountaineers. It was a competitive game. Slow post game turned into a very long night, Jess, but maybe give your thoughts overall on the game, any key takeaways, and kind of give a lay of the land to the fans out there that weren't able to tune in on Friday night.
Yeah, I certainly do hope, even though we're 0-2 in our coverage of the game, that this matchup continues beyond. You know, next year we probably will see a little bit of a different schedule, where the last 2 years we've had the same schedule just mirrored home and away. I hope that we get to keep this up with North Murray, because they have been two very fun matchups despite ending in a loss. Reminded me a lot of last year's matchup. There are fireworks early and often, high scoring, a lot of flags. I think if we had to highlight a couple things from this game, it would be one, Judson Petty, which we're going to tell you a whole lot about. You'll hear his name a lot through the recap. The flags and how many of those there were, and how often both sides of the ball. It seemed like the game took the entire evening. We didn't end until about 11 o'clock. That's with a normal 7:30 start, and I think a lot of that was because of the flags. And just another one down to the wire with the Mountaineers. So, like I said, it's hate that we've had to end them both with a loss, but hopefully this matchup will continue on in our broadcasting career and in the future of Dragon football.
I would agree. It's clear these two teams are very competitive one another, very close games both years. You talked about the penalties. I know it was really kind of astounding to us calling the game how many penalties there were throughout the night, and I know probably to fans' frustrations as they were watching on. One thing we did recognize afterwards as we tallied things up, kind of running the stats, it did appear to be pretty much 50-50. So if you're a fan, if you're a Dragon fan, you can't be too upset at the officials. Dragons got flagged a lot, but so did North Murray. They got flagged a lot too. It was basically even killing. You're an official in the basketball season, Jess, but I've kind of always heard that, you know, officials – it's not as big of how much you let them get away with or how tough you call, but what's important is that you're consistent. And so I think, if anything, it does, based on the stats, look like the officials were consistent in their calling against both teams.
Yeah, they were strict all night, but strict for both teams. I think they were kind of a little soft with a few of their flags that they had on the field, but it was soft both ways. So can't really complain about a whole lot except for the way the game dragged on because of it. It was certainly our longest game that began at the correct time. You know, last year we had the weather delay with Snorville that obviously ran to about midnight, but this was the longest game I think we've endured in our two-year careers with a normal start time, and I think flags had a lot to do with that. But no clear advantage. My tally had 22 flags total and 11 split, so right down the middle. Now, of course, my tally is not official, but it should be at least a very good assessment of the tally. I might have missed one or two in there, but from what we have, 22 flags, 11 on each side, yardage about the same as well. So no clear advantage. I know we haven't recapped the game yet, but obviously there was a flag thrown at the end of the game that a lot of folks, at least in the stands, were not happy about. We saw it when it happened. I think a lot of the unhappiness was because of the result of the play had the flag not been thrown, but we will cover that in the recap here.
Let's go ahead and dive right into the recap. As things got underway, Dragons really came out pretty hot to start things off Friday night. Really came out to an early lead, performing very well on offense particularly. But it was a competitive matchup throughout the first half. We ended up seeing the first half end in a tie. And then things got a little bit away from the Dragons, I think, later in the second half. But why don't you kind of do a little play-by-play recap throughout the game?
Yeah, so there were a lot of fireworks early. The first Dragon drive led to a touchdown. They had two fourth down conversions that led to a touchdown. The risk-taking is going to continue to be a theme throughout the game. However, North Murray countered immediately with a 70-yard touchdown pass from quarterback Skylar Williams to Judson Petty. I get used to, like I said, hearing that name. It's going to be a theme throughout. He was heavily used to a large majority of their offense. You'll find out exactly how much here in a little bit. But after those two quick strikes, the Dragons eventually hop out to a 16-6 lead at the end of the first quarter. You often hear this phrase used for basketball, but this was a game of runs. Each team took its turn with a lead and blowing that lead. We go into the half at 16-all. Like I said, Dragons had that 16-6 first quarter lead. Let North Murray get back into it before the half, but nothing major, still all knotted up. Now we see the third quarter tide starts to turn a little bit in favor of North Murray. Skylar Williams ran in a touchdown on a long drive to start the half. Dragons have a turnover on downs, and then you get another Williams-Petty connection that makes it 30-16 at the end of the third. That 14-point lead stays intact after a couple of scores from each team made it 37-23 early in the fourth, and here is where we see Pickens start to mount their comeback. We had a 70-yard touchdown pass of our own from Sam Stryker to Hayden Jones. Hayden had a big week one, and he wasn't involved as much from a quantity standpoint this week, but had another good game in his own right, that his biggest play of the game. Right after that 70-yard touchdown that cut it to a one-possession deficit, Coach Myers elects to go with an onside kick. We recover it. Great call, of course. I actually just had a conversation with Superintendent Dr. Thomas at Speedburger before I headed over this way, and he was talking about how he liked that call, and I told him that when it comes to plays like that, it's always a good call if it works. Of course, had it not fired, there wouldn't be – or had it not worked, there wouldn't be – anybody talking about how great it was. That's the same case with any fourth down. You go for it. People always talk about how great a decision is if it works and how bad a decision it was if it doesn't. I believe there's more to the story there. But nonetheless, of course, a great call in this instance. That onside kick recovery led to a game-tying touchdown. And with a little over a minute left to go. Sorry, a little bit more time than that. Right around 2 minutes. Pickens had the ball, had an opportunity to take the lead, couldn't get it done, punted the ball back to North Murray. North Murray is able to hit another long Skylar Williams to Judson Petty connection, which drive and basically game concludes with a 27 seconds to go. Skylar Williams runs in the touchdown to take the lead. As I said, mostly the game was put away at that point. We did have the, I don't want to say controversial. I didn't think it was necessarily controversial, but Pickens does run back the ensuing kickoff, which would have tied the game. There was a flag thrown on the play. Tucker and I both saw it as it was taking place. We tried to, of course, contain, I guess, our excitement a little bit because we did know what was about to follow, but a lot of fans unhappy about that final flag call there.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
With Northside Hospital, you can look forward to new beginnings, look ahead to comeback seasons, and look up for hope and strength. Northside welcomes you into our community of care, guided by one clear direction, a mission to heal. Led by our expertise in maternity, heart, cancer, orthopedics, and more, you can move into tomorrow with confidence. For a healthier future together, look to Northside Hospital.
Feed all the hungry people in your family at Culver's of Jasper. Their signature butter burgers are fresh, never frozen, and the frozen custard is the perfect treat. Culver's of Jasper is locally owned and operated by local people who care about our community. Their passion for fresh food is as strong as their love for the community. They're proud of where they're located and how their local roots have made them who they are. Get fresh food now at Culver's of Jasper, just in front of Walmart.
Finding the right home for your family is important. The journey can be time-consuming and difficult. You want the right size, the perfect location, and great internet. ETC makes it easy to see what internet services you can get for your future or current home. Visit etcfiber.com, enter your address, and get an overview of all available services with pricing. No more internet surprises. Check before you buy. Make sure your home is right for you with ETC Ignite Internet, offering speeds up to 2.5 gigs. Call 844-708-5288 or visit etcfiber.com.
Back on Dragon Football Weekly, still Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker. Want to appreciate y'all tuning in. As you know, want to remember that you can tune in every week wherever you listen to podcasts simply by searching Dragon Football Weekly. And again, want to remind you of the game coming up this Friday night in Dragon Stadium against the Fan and Rebels. Northside pregame show at 7, kickoff at 7:30, 93.7, 98.1 FM, and streaming. As you noted, though, again, Dragons fall 44-37, and want to highlight a couple of the key players you talked about in your game recap. Judson Petty, of course, for North Murray with just a phenomenal game. 16 receptions, 360 yards, and 4 touchdowns, Jess, on Friday night.
We've kind of been burying the lead on this one a little bit here.
We have. We of course, then find out over the weekend once North Murray discovers, and it was confirmed through GHSA, that unfortunately for us, but congrats and kudos to that young man, obviously a very talented athlete. His performance on Friday night set a Georgia high school sports record for most receiving yards in a single game at 360 yards. Quite the feat when you think of some of Georgia high school, former Georgia high school athletes, people like Calvin Johnson is one of the names that comes to the top of my mind, and many others too that went on, of course, to have very prolific collegiate and NFL careers. But again, not a stat we want to be achieved against our team, but nonetheless something noteworthy that Judson Petty's game on Friday night did set a GHSA record again for 360 total yards, 4 touchdowns on 16 receptions on the night. And throwing to him, got to recognize Skylar Williams, another guy that was all over the field. Not only was he the quarterback for North Murray, also played defensive starter. Really, I don't know that he ever came off the field, to be honest with you. But he also had a heck of a night. 78% of his passing yards we know went to Judson Petty. 460 total passing yards for him. Another just very impressive feat for a high school quarterback. Turn into the Dragons. Again, the standouts appear to be more on the offensive side of the ball. Hayden Jones, a sophomore, continues to impress. You noted earlier that the touchdown reception he had from Sam Stryker late in the fourth quarter. We see him in a number of ways being used on the field. Miguel Salto continues to be a great back for the Dragons. He had 2 touchdowns on the night, which is helping you, Jess, with our little fun wager we do of predicting who is going to get the scoring touchdown. So you've had him 2 weeks in a row, and I think he's got three for you.
You did get on the board with Isaiah Williams getting in the end zone. Circling back a little bit to the Judson Petty, Skylar Williams thing, we knew, you know, what was going on the field was impressive. We knew that he was being heavily featured in their game, and we kind of estimated about 80%. We were pretty close to that. But even these 360 yards don't tell the whole story with him. I mean, he was carrying the ball. He had some rushing stats to add that. You talked about how Skylar Williams never came off the field. Judson Petty didn't really either. He was in there on defense as well. So it was very much a two-man show, and they did the two-man show game very good. Both seasons that we played them had a strong offensive team. Not quite the same on defense, and vice versa. They've been exciting games. Judson Petty, thing about him, he's not necessarily, I don't think, the most impressive athlete we've ever faced. And I don't think that his aspirations are as high as some other talents that we've had over the last few years. But his ability, he could find the soft spots in the zone, sit down in them. He was a very smart player. He is no doubt, I'm not trying to take anything away from him, he's very, very athletic, very agile. But just if you had to pick guys out over the last 2 years. We've played some guys who've gone on to do bigger and better things than him, and what he was able to do Friday night is very special, despite that it happened at our expense nonetheless. But incredible game from him, and he deserves the recognition.
No doubt about it. Well, very impressive game. We want to kind of go into some takeaways. You get, of course, only going through 2 weeks, but the first loss of the season for the Dragons. I think one thing for sure, Jess, and I want to get your thoughts on these, you know, the discipline, the sloppy play from the Dragons when it comes to penalties, North Murray as well, but we're not focused on them. You got to, you know, I know Coach Meyer's focus is going to be what can we do every day to improve week by week. And I think at the top of his list has got to be some of the penalties that the shots in the foot, so to speak, the Dragons had on Friday night. That's going to be a big thing. The other thing I thought about for sure was, I think defensively, and we knew this, you know, I think some of the strengths are more on the offensive side of the ball for us, as it was to a degree last year. I don't think that's abnormal. I think you see that a lot in just today's game. There is more of a focus, I think, on offense, the style of play. That's just kind of par for the course in many instances. I think we did see some weaknesses on the defensive side exposed to a degree, particularly in the secondary. How big of an issue it is, I think, is yet to be determined. Again, when you're talking about we were also playing a guy in context that just set the GHSA record, and that's important to recognize too. But I do think there is some improvements that are going to have to be made on the defensive side of the ball. I don't see scoring points as much as a problem for us, but getting outscored. What are your thoughts, Jess?
Yeah, of course the flags are going to want to be cleaned up. I'm not sure how much of that was us being sloppy. Obviously, this officiating crew was more prone to throwing flags than some of the others, so there's a little bit of both of that. No problems putting up points. We put up 38 and 37 in the first 2 weeks. However, we've given up, let's see, 44 and 21. So obviously, we want to see more of week one on the defensive side than you do in week two. I also think we played a much better offensive team in week two than we did in week one. They were the toughest offensive team we faced in 2022, and it's a possibility that they are once again in 2023. So, nothing to hang your head over. It was a well-fought game. You want to keep that lead when you had it, but you also did a good job of getting back in the game after you blew it, so kind of a double-edged sword there. I think that there's a lot to be optimistic about going into this week at Fannin.
I agree, and one last final note I want to say, and Coach Myers, I saw he put out some statements over the weekend, and he kind of touched on this, and I agree completely. One thing we have clearly seen both weeks is these players don't quit. They don't sit down. They are in it every minute, all four quarters. They appear to be all very much in unison. They have bought in. I think it seems very evident they have bought into what these coaches are bringing to the table, what they're asking of them. I think they play very much as a cohesive unit. They play very much as a team, and I think that has shown both nights. And I have never seen them get down or discouraged like you talked about, even when North Murray made that swing on Friday night. They never gave up. They were able, and that's what led them to be able to come back and tie the game. Ultimately, they weren't able to hang on, but I think that's a credit to those players and those coaches and what they're doing down there.
Yeah, like we have both said now at this point, it was bad to give up the 10-point lead and to fall behind 14, but it was good to see how they performed when they faced that adversity of a deficit like that so late in the game and to turn it around so quickly.
Absolutely. Well, that's the wrap-up on week two against North Murray to make the Dragons 1-1. Now we're going to turn our attention, just like I know Coach Myers and this Dragon football team is already as well, to our somewhat rivals to a degree up the 515 to Fannin County, the Fannin County Rebels, which, of course, will be who we play Friday night at home. We played them. We brought that somewhat North Georgia rivalry back last year with a game at Blue Ridge, ended up falling in that game. We'll talk more about that a little later on. And now we get a little chance for revenge this Friday at our place. But on the other side of this break, we're going to have somebody who can give us a lot of great insight into what to expect Friday night. It's the voice of the Rebels himself, Tim Tao, coming back with us again this year. And we're glad to have him on Dragon Football Weekly on the other side of this commercial. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Piedmont Mountainside Hospital has been a leader of quality medical care in Georgia with 16 consecutive A Hospital Safety Grades Leapfrog Group and consistently ranking in the top five Atlanta hospitals in patient excellence. Piedmont offers a wide range of services and specialties, including imaging, cardiac rehabilitation, and general surgery to meet the acute and long-term needs of the community. In addition, Piedmont Mountainside offers 24-hour emergency and intensive care in Jasper and in LJ. Choose Piedmont Mountainside. Real change lives here.
The word community means everything to the people of Community Bank of Pickens County. Community is much more than a name to the owners and staff. They're proud to be the area's only locally owned and operated bank and have a staff that lives in our area. They've continued to offer in-person service at both of their full-service locations while also offering you the latest online banking technology. Community Bank of Pickens County, saying go Dragons during this football season. Member FDIC.
My dad has always told me, if you want something done right, sometimes that means you just have to do it yourself.
That's right. Dan Jape here with my son, Daniel, excited to share that we're doing it right again.
Introducing Jape Services.
We're the same family that has served Atlanta with reliable heating, cooling, and plumbing services for over five decades.
Our professionals at Jape Services are licensed, insured, and ready to assist.
And we're doing it right.
Visit japeservices.com.
From our family
to yours,
japeservices.com.
The Pickens County Recycling Centers are open to serve all residents of Pickens County. They offer free paper shredding and free collections of typical recyclable items such as glass, cardboard, and newspaper. You can also recycle large items such as appliances and mattresses for a small fee. The main recycling center is located at 390 Appalachian Court off the 515, or visit the east side location on Cove Road in Marble Hill. The goal of the Pickens County Recycling Center is to reduce waste to our landfills.
Back now on Dragon Football Weekly, Tucker Green with Jess Walker, and we're excited to be joined by this week's special guest for us to give us a little insight into Friday night's opponent, the Fannin County Rebels. Jess, I know you have some connections to Tim. Y'all worked together in a few different ways, so I'll turn it over to you and let you kind of give an introduction here.
Yeah, happy to introduce Tim. I guess me and Tim go back two or three years now, maybe even longer than that. So we were connected through my basketball officiating. Tim is the athletic coordinator for Fannin County Rec Department, but more important for this interview, he is the PA, the voice of the Fannin County Rebels. Tim, how's it going today?
Guys, it's going good. It's always better to come on and talk after your team wins. So we're kind of excited to hear in Blue Ridge after a big win over that school called Gilmer County that you guys don't like either.
Yeah, big win for you guys. I guess the first of a few matchups between the 515 schools. We've got the second this Friday here in Pickens County as you guys will travel down to meet us, and we'll talk a little bit more about what we expect on Friday in a little bit. But first, I'll just kind of let the listeners know about your relationship with Fannin County Athletics, specifically the football program.
Yes, I've been the voice of the Rebels now going on. Every year, Coach Chad Cheatham has been here, so that'd be a sixth season. Hard to believe that he is starting his sixth season as the head coach of the Fannin County Rebels. I've been lucky and blessed to have good relationships with the high school football staff and our administration, led by Principal Dr. Ramsey, Alan Collis, Miss Mandy Housley, Mr. David Henson, and our athletic director, Shannon York. They are all great people that lead the Fannin County administration there. And just a very special relationship with the coaching staff, many of who I'm consider friends. And it's a good family atmosphere in Fannin County. And it is also, translated over to on the football field as the Rebels have made the playoffs the last 5 years and are looking to make it 6-6 under head coach Chad Cheatham.
Tim, that segues in perfectly to what I wanted to ask you. Of course, I think obviously you and the Fannin community are very proud of Coach Cheatham, but I think he's gotten some attention around North Georgia. I mean, certainly he's a name we've heard popping up, and his success on the field from his teams I think is a big reason why. And you talk about five consecutive years to the playoffs, looking for a sixth. Tell us about Coach Cheatham, some of his background, and what you think makes him the leader he is and the success he has brought to Fannin, maybe anybody on his staff, kind of key people that he's built around him?
Yeah, I think Coach Cheatham has just built everything from the bottom up. Obviously, before Coach Cheatham came here, he was at some very good schools. Was an assistant under Sonny Smart at Raven County. That was his first job. Then he was a coach at Jefferson. And he actually took the head coaching job at Banks County, you know, just and then a month later left them in the middle of the night and came home. And he's from Fannin County. He played quarterback here at Fannin County in the early 90s. And I think that's important because you have a guy who is a hometown kid who understands expectations, understands relationships in Fannin County, understands the importance, how things go. I think that's been very, very key to his success. But I think what is also to his success is how well he has built his coaching staff. And now his offensive coordinator the previous 5 years under him is Coach Chris Thigpen. Now Coach Chris Thigpen is now at the middle school level as the head coach, which I think is a huge thing because now Coach Thigpen can get everything ready because he knows how Coach Cheatham likes everything and can prepare the young generation. And we have since brought in offensive coordinator Wade Woodall. Coach Woodall was the offensive coordinator. He's been at Oconee County, Morgan County, and gosh, it is actually just, I know where he came from last year, and that is just actually completely slipped my mind. But Coach Woodall is a great fit for us. And he is obviously in his first year as the offensive coordinator here. Coach Adam Turner has been the defensive coordinator under Coach Cheatham for all these years. And Coach Jeff Kuna has also been on the staff for all these years. He's the assistant head coach. He's actually just recognized by Parker Resources as one of the assistant coaches of the week last week. He also coaches special teams. I know I'm forgetting a bunch of guys that are on the staff, but he has kept a lot of these guys together for so many years, and I think that has been a crucial key. And we've even added some young guys now with, defensive line coach Jacob Reese has played at Fannin County, played at Carson Newman University. He's on the staff, and we just added Jack Roper. Jack Roper was a player for Fannin County for many years. He's on his first year. Coach Chris High with the outside linebackers coaches, and Wade Hodges on the offensive line. He was our middle school coach last year, head coach. And I forget if I'm forgetting everybody, guys, I apologize. But it's a very good staff, and I think that is the way Cheatham has built it, and the guys that he's been able to keep for all these years. I think it's been very important to his success.
Sounds like a very well-rounded team for sure. I know Jess and I recognize several of those names. Jack Roper, especially, remember his playing days for Fannin. And I did just want, before I send it back over to Jess, I'm sure as you're well aware, want to remind you that Parker Resources is a Pickens County product, so we take credit for that. So.
Well, I think what Chris Parker done in Pickens County, I don't think he gets enough credit for, but I really believe if you in this area the last, 10, 15 years, I think Coach Parker and Coach Cheatham are in a category of their own.
Yeah.
And obviously Coach Maxwell, I believe at Dawson's up there as well. But if you're talking about the best head coaches in North Georgia, you cannot have a conversation without Chris Parker, Chad Cheatham, and definitely Sid Maxwell.
Yeah, I think what Parker and Cheatham did is very, very similar, just in the fact that they took two programs that were kind of stagnant and built a buzz around them. They had a great deal of success compared to what the program was used to, and they kind of gave both programs a jump start and a life that changed the expectation in both counties and for both fan bases. So I do think that those two guys, Chris Parker and Chad Cheatham, is a very good comparison. Bouncing, changing around topics from coaches and coaching staff to the players, give us some key guys to watch. I intentionally did zero homework before I came in here to talk to you about it, so that not only will be telling the fan base about it, you'll be telling Tucker and myself some guys to watch out for this Friday.
Yeah, I would. Normally when you come on here, you want to highlight seniors. The problem is Fannin County has one returning senior. which is very unusual. The class that is senior class right now does not have a lot of boys in that group for Fannin County. Now, there is, however, about four or five seniors, I believe, that have came out for Fannin County to play. But as far as we have only one returning senior, that's Brody Pascal. So Fannin County is a very, very young team this year, a big junior class. Got two quarterbacks right now in Lawson Sullivan and Elijah Weaver. They're definitely two guys that will be making plays on Friday night. The backfield, you've got Carson Callahan, C.J. Reese. C.J. Reese and Carson Callahan both play on the defensive side of the football, and they will be making a few plays as well. The strength really for the Rebels on last Friday night against Gilmer was the offense and defensive line led by Case Holloway and Jacob Dye. Both those guys play both ways and definitely made a lot of plays. Case Holloway made a great play in the backfield that had a lot of a big momentum type play on Friday night. And Cooper Bourne, I can't go without mentioning Cooper Bourne, who was our leading tackler last year and was the leading tackler in Region 7AA. And I believe he had 12 or 13 tackles this past week against Gilmer. So he's definitely a player to watch out for. A very young team for the Rebels. And this is probably the least amount of kids. And granted, that is because of this senior class of boys. There's just not a lot of boys in that class. I believe the Fannin only has 45 kids, maybe just a little bit more on the roster. But this is by far the lowest number team for Fannin County. So, it's depth, not really a major issue, but it is a concern for the Rebels. That's no secret. Fannin County does not have a lot of kids playing football compared to previous years. So, definitely something to look out for. But I think it all goes down to very, very, very good kids, very coachable kids, coaches putting players in position to make plays. And I know they rotate them in as best they can, but it is crazy to think that this team, in the past we've had 60-plus kids on teams, and, it's just a weird – with that senior class.
Yeah, it's always – I know last year we talked about a lot the comings and goings of the mountain schools and kind of how each program will have ebbs and flows of where they have a good run for a few years and then a down year for a few years, and student population, and that kind of goes the same way, goes hand in hand with that. Talking about things coming and going, the rivalry between Pickens and Fannin obviously kind of faded over the last decade up until last year. The last meeting was back in 2011. We talked off air before this interview, and I know you've got a good anecdote that you want to share from that 2011 game that ended, I had no idea, ended in a spectacular fashion, no doubt.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that Pickens County and Fannin played every year from 1984 to 2007. Then we played in 2010 and 11 for 2 years, and then we went all that time from 2011 to 2022. Without playing. But what's crazy about that is Fannin County did win the last game at Jasper, which was in 2011. It was Clark Drennan versus Steve Sewell. And it was one of the craziest games in Fannin County history. Fannin County had jumped out on Pickens early in the game. And a guy you guys are very familiar with, a guy by the name of Shannon Brooks, kind of had his emergence in that second half of that game in 2011, and we couldn't tackle him to save our life. A crazy ending to the game, though. We got the ball, Pickens County had the ball with about 8 seconds to go. It was fourth down, and instead of punting the ball, the punter tried to run around and just try to run the clock out. Well, he got tackled down, I think, at about the 40-yard line with about 2 seconds to go. However, the clock operator ran the clock down to 0 seconds. Pickens County at the time was leading 28-21. So the clock operator ran the clock down to zero. The student section storms the field. Everybody in Jasper thinks the game's over. Not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say. They put 2 seconds back on the clock. Trevor Stone throws a Hail Mary in the corner to Brandon Minner. The Rebels score, 28-27. Coach Clark Drennan goes for two, again, with no time left, obviously. And Fannin County won that game 29-28 as Blake Henry got in the end zone. So that was the last time that the game happened in Jasper. A good memory for Rebel fans. I know this is a Pickens County podcast, and I know we're talking about Fannin, but it was a very good game for Fannin. And, you know, we would love to have some of that magic this year, as I know we're going to face a very good athletic Pickens County team who we know can put up some points. And it may be – I know you guys are probably tired of shootouts, but it may be a shootout. Who knows? Both defenses may show up on Friday night. Either way, I think we're going to be in for a great football game on Friday night in Jasper.
I was about to say, Tim, I think – I may know why we went all that time without playing. There may have been some hurt feelings here in Jasper, not wanting to see those blue jerseys again after that game in 2011. That's wild. That of course did somewhat predate Jess and I's involvement with the football program. So I wasn't as familiar.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been the year after I graduated. So that's kind of where a dead area for me, and as far as keeping up. But it was. I was blown away by the story when you told me. I'm glad you got to share it.
So, Tim, you kind of gave us a little insight into maybe what to expect on Friday night. What can you tell us anything else more about the team? I know Dragon fans got to go up there last year and see what that team was like. Pretty similar, or do we see any big changes, or what kind of is your thoughts going into Friday night?
Yeah, I would say very similar. Obviously, I don't want to give any secrets away. I know Coach Chad Cheatham would whoop my tail if I got on here and say what the Rebels would try to do. But, you know, I think you're going to see just a well-coached football team, much like the same you guys faced last year in Blue Ridge. You know, a very disciplined football team in Fannin County. They don't make many mistakes. Now, we made a lot of mistakes week one when we played Union County, and that was a very unusual result for us. But Union County is a very good football team, and hats off to them. But I think you're just going to see a well-coached team, a lot of kids that just love to play football, a lot of good Mountain kids, much like you guys, that just love the game of football. And guys, I love Mountain. I love Mountain football. I'm a big proponent in this area's football. I hate that we don't get a lot of respect and recognition. I've called out Matt Stewart on Twitter before over it. I do not like the fact that this area does not get the recognition. I know I'm kind of changing subjects a little bit here, but there is nothing like small town high school football. There's nothing like the atmospheres, the crowds, the passion for your school that they have here. It's a special atmosphere, and I fully expect to see a special atmosphere in Dragon Stadium on Friday night. I know Fannin County will bring a crowd every seat on that visitor side. I promise you will be full. And, you know, the band's going to play loud. It's going to be just a fun atmosphere. And it's a shame that we've waited since 2011 to come back all the way to Jasper to play. But hopefully, you know, it's a great football game played on both sides, and Coach Cheatham and Coach Myers can get together and renew this schedule for years to come, because we need this game, but both communities need this game.
I agree. I think you hit the nail on the head. This is just good fun, good small town football, North Georgia rivals, and nothing compares to a atmosphere of a Friday night under the lights. So we're going to be in for a great matchup on Friday night. I'm looking to welcome y'all back to Jasper. We just hope it's a little better result for us this time, this go around. I can tell you the stadium looks a little different than 2011 when y'all were last here, and I think this team probably looks a little different than the last team y'all faced in 2011. But it'll be a fun game, no doubt about it, come Friday here in Jasper. And but Tim, we just appreciate your time and the insights you give to support the Rebels and give our fans a little insight. I know you enjoy the game just like Jess and I do, so we appreciate you and glad you were on this week.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. And if y'all could, from about 3 to 7, maybe keep all those Jeeps away on Friday so we can travel and get down there without any hiccups, that'd be great.
Should be fine on the southbound. You should be all right.
Yeah, good point. Good luck with that, Tim, on the travel down. Make sure y'all are planning accordingly when y'all got to get down here.
Absolutely. I think Miss York at our high school just put out a Facebook post about the Jeep Fest and for our fans to plan accordingly. So I had to give a shout out to Jeep Fest there. I'm sure thousands and thousands of people listen to this show, so they can thank Dragon Football Weekly for the free advertising there. Yeah.
And tell them if they don't want to make the trip, spread the word for those staying at home. They can stream the game on WLJARadio.com if they want to tune in and listen. We'll try not to be too biased of a broadcast.
Well, if you watch Fan Rebel TV,
I forgot you guys do your thing. Sorry, I won't steal it from y'all.
All right, Tim, we appreciate it. Good luck Friday night. I'm sure we'll see you.
Same to you guys. We'll try to touch base for the game. Thank you guys for having me.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Tim.
Fans, stay right here. We'll be right back on the other side of Dragon Football Weekly.
Pueblo Cantina is Jasper's best Mexican restaurant. Local folks know they use only fresh ingredients and serve a wide variety of freshly made dishes. Restaurants come and go, but Pueblo Cantina has been open since 1997. Lunch or dinner, 7 days a week. Come to Jasper's best Mexican restaurant, Pueblo Cantina, 25 Luke Carver Drive at 53 and 515 Jasper. Go Dragons!
In sports, every point counts, and at Alpha Insurance, they know when it comes to your budget, every dollar counts. That's why they work hard to get you the lowest rates and best discounts available. Plus, every Alpha policy comes with personal service from their hometown team. Call Alpha to start saving today. In Jasper, call Alpha agent Bill Lawrence at 706-692-2436 or stop by their office at 744 Noah Drive. Score savings with Alpha Insurance.
J.L. Weaver Law Firm of Jasper is proud to be part of the Pickens County community. They're behind the Dragons all the way and want to congratulate all the players, cheerleaders, and band members who've put in countless hours of work for this season. The J.L. Weaver Law Firm specializes in criminal defense, DUI, personal injury, and family law. 57 Southeast Street, Jasper. Call 706-253-1001. J.L. Weaver Law Firm.
Back on Dragon Football Weekly, still Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker. Want to appreciate y'all tuning in. As you know, want to remember that you can tune in every week, wherever you listen to podcasts, simply by searching Dragon Football Weekly. And again, want to remind you of the game coming up this Friday night in Dragon Stadium against the Fan and Rebels. Northside pregame show at 7, kickoff at 7:30, 93.7, 98.1 FM, and streaming online. Got a lot of good insight there from Tim Tao, and just really enjoy talking to him. Just a good old guy there, Jeff.
Yeah, he does a great job. Offers a lot of insight. Very passionate about his local high school football program, as are, you know, you and I. And it's great to have somebody with a like mindset on, as well as somebody who can provide all that information for us and behind the scenes and inside look into Fannin County football. He's definitely one of our favorite guests to have on, a recurring guest now. Had him the last 2 years for Fannin, and looking forward to continuing that relationship with him in the future.
Some key takeaways that surprised me a little were how young this team was. I thought that was amazing. They only have one
senior.
Returning senior. That's something you don't see a lot. And also that the roster was down, a smaller roster, which I guess when you kind of take out a whole class of kids, that can definitely do that. But certainly things there dealing with up in Fannin County, but I think, as he talked about, Coach Cheatham, we can expect a well-coached football team, a team ready to play here on Friday night, and a team that will be very familiar with the history between these two programs. As he talked about, Coach Cheatham being a player back in the 90s himself, certainly would have played against Pickens during his time. So there's a lot of history here. Just want to just get your final thoughts of expectations going into Friday night.
I think it'll be a fairly even game. I think we'll have another close one on our hands. We've seen both teams kind of have flip-flop results. Pickens came out hot in week one where Fannin looked down, and then the momentum was switched for each team last week where Pickens had a tough loss and Fannin rolled over Gilmer. Quick facts into the history of the matchup. 17-11 in favor of Pickens. Tim touched on this a lot. Played almost every year for nearly 30 years, took about a decade off. We've been back on for the last couple of years. Pickens looking to add another win to that 17-win column, make it 18-11 in our favor. Massey has it fairly even. They actually have Fannin favored by 8. Their optimal score is Fannin 34, Pickens 26. So yet again, another high-scoring affair predicted by the mathematicians. They were actually pretty good last week. They had the spread at 3 and a high-scoring total, which game ended up being a little more stretched out than that. But Massey looked pretty good last week. We'll see how it does this week. Hopefully they're off by at least a little bit in terms of the spread and final score in this one.
One thing's for sure, we're in for another good game, I think, Friday night, and I hope fans will be sure to tune in, whether they're in the stadium or at home. They can listen to us on 93.7, 98.1 FM and streaming online. Northside pregame show starting at 7. We'll have more thoughts going into the game as we learn more as the week rolls on. And then, of course, kickoff time, 7:30. I want to quickly thank our sponsors that make this coverage of Pickens football possible: Northside Hospital, Community Bank of Pickens County, Culver's of Jasper, Piedmont Mountainside Hospital, Pickens County Recycling, Alpha Insurance, Bill Lawrence Agency, ETC, Pueblo Cantina, J.L. Weaver Law Firm, and Jape Services. One programming note for you, the Dragons are on a bye week next week, so there will be no shows next week, no podcast or coverage on Friday night as the Dragons get a much-deserved week off after three non-region contests, and hopefully they'll get back on the winning side of things with this game Friday night at home against the Fannin Rebels. Be sure to tune in Friday night. You're not going to want to miss it. As always, we appreciate you tuning in every week. I'm Tucker Green, and this is Jess Walker. Thanks.